Hi! Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your Olinda here, again, bringing you the new episode of Opera Wears. Just a quick warning, I am pretty unsatisfied with Thursday's performances and being a little bit too mean on it. Unfortunately, I watched too much Dave Hurwitz's video during the past 2 weeks, but anyway, if you can live with the way I talk, and you don't want to hear me say some random stuff, feel free to jump into for the review section. My commitment for this podcast is supposed to be at least one episode per week, but unfortunately, I am so sorry that my schedule was a mess. My plan initially is to have La Forza de Lastino last week, Pronto probably this week, Romeo and Juliet somewhere in between those two. The differences between a plan and the reality is there. Romeo and Juliet, which is this episode, somehow became my first episode in March. I do have to apologize for the delay, but however, March is my favorite month, because, you know, Met Opera is back, and last week we have Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, another unsatisfied performance, I wanna say. But however, we got a lot of other great performances. It was a nice month. I completed half of my La Forza de Lastino review, and hopefully I can deliver that as my next episode, somewhere around next week, I guess. To be very honest, I didn't plan to see the premiere of Romeo and Juliet for this season. The only reason will be I do want to see Put a Wallet instead of Yannick. Funny thing, I was online for Rush ticket for VPO at Carnegie Hall last week. I mean, this online means I'm physically there, and there's a line with approximately, I guess, 30 to 20 people. I got there at 6 a.m., which is pretty cringe. And I interviewed at least 5 people, asking them who's their least favorite conductor, and unsurprisingly enough, 4 of them choose Yannick. I might mention this before, but one of the most unfortunate thing in the world is that the conductor is Yannick for my first ever opera, which is Champion from last season, and it was the Grammy Award for best opera recording. I mean, to be realistic, I don't think that's a reliable award. However, you got my point. I know that already passed, but happy birthday to music director of the Orchestra Metropolitan, the Metropolitan Opera and Philadelphia Orchestra, Yannick Nazet-Séjourné. Excuse my French pronunciation. Even though I sound a little bit mean towards Yannick and the Met, but it is one of my baseline to say happy birthday to every single person. One of the reasons why I'm still looking forward to Romeo and Juliet is Nadine Sierra. At some circumstances, I know her name even before I started to develop any understanding in opera. Back to the work. Romeo and Juliet is so famous that I don't think there's any necessary reality for me to repeat the plot. I believe everyone knows this name. If not the opera, then the Shakespeare's all-time classical play. Let me just quickly summarize in order to prevent some of my audience might forget the story. We have Romeo and Juliet that fall in love, but unfortunately, their family were big ops. So they secretly date each other, and there's some miscommunication that happened. So they all died. The only difference between the original play and the opera is the ending. In the opera, Romeo drank the potion, and Julia woke up. And then Romeo talks to Julia for a while. The potion works and he died, and Julia killed herself after that. So basically for the opera, the Libertas, Jules, Barbara, and Michael Carey just made the singers sing a few additional lines. Talk about the acts. A thing that I don't understand is while they kind of spend the 1.5 hour on the first three acts, when Romeo and Juliet meet and they develop love. I mean, technically, we have 2.5 hours for the whole opera, so every single act deserves 3 minutes. I do understand that they have to develop the love between Romeo and Juliet so that the audience can be more engaged for the sad ending. But if it is me, then I'll consider putting more of the time focusing on things happen after Tibet and Romeo's fight, which is the climax, falling action, and resolution in the writing of literature. Romeo and Juliet was premiered in 1867 in Paris. And an interesting thing I do want to mention is that in May, it is American premiere in Academy of Music in New York. Just 3 months after, it is Theatre Lyrique premiere. I guess that's how you pronounce that French theater. Talks about Academy of Music. I went to Union Square last month just to feel the land that one of the greatest opera house in the world once led. By the way, that was despicting any other related historical or interior design aspect. I mean, I was considering about the sound effect and the other stuff. Another related thing is that, as I mentioned, I went to Carnegie, and well, the bro, he's a pretty nice guy, I guess, but he was like, oh, my time for opera was all the way back to the time for Academy of Music. And I was like, okay, nice to know a 200 years old. Romeo and Juliet is actually one of my favorite operas. Those beautiful duos delight my life. I also like Faust. Gounod is one of my favorite opera composers, without any questioning. Another reason being, I really like church music, even though I am not too into religion. I do want to recommend his Le Médecin Moqué-l'œil, in English, The Doctor in Spite of Himself. It is an opéra comique. I mean, you can, but you cannot translate it into comic opera. The most famous opera and opera comedy is Carmen, which I just reviewed, not the average, but the Met's new production version. I'm way off topic every time. Back to Romeo and Juliet. My favorite Julia so far is Angela Gurgil. Would be great if you can look for some recordings for her. I don't know what else can I say, so let's just go straightforward to the reviewing part. First of all, that was very disappointing. I already have that expectation that this will go a little bit off track. It might be kind of perception as a general audience, or my subconscious tells me that having no expectation means to be surprised. But however, it is way more wilder than what I thought. I mean, from a not that picky perspective, it might sound not that bad. You have a classical opera with good-looking singers who can sing high notes. Great. Good. Good. But at least, if you have ear, you should ask the Met to refund your ticket from Thursday. I honestly don't have any idea why the Met Opera became one of the world-famous opera house. The only reasonable answer I found is, this is New York. And yes, New York City. I am referring to the fact that, first, audience don't have a taste. Second, 80% of the audience just want to take a picture of themselves with either the chandelier or the curtain. Third, the only thing matters is money and the fact that everyone pretend themselves in art or have a taste. The most memorable mistake, I don't even want to recognize it as a mistake, but a total incident, is that in the first act, when the party begins, when Juliet slash Nadine Sarah sings the solo aria, Ah, Je veux vivre, or in English, I want to live. It is one of the most famous soprano aria these days. The joyful mood, jumping notes, delights my life again. It recalls the Queens of the Night aria from Mozart's Magic Flute for me every time. But unfortunately, what happened Thursday during the premiere is like, oh, Sarah wasn't able to get on the beats. The whole presentation was like Sarah tried to sing those notes faster and faster to chase the orchestra. I mean, in the music, it does go faster and faster, but it's two different ideas. She failed every time when there's a symptom that the orchestra and her are finally together, which is a deadly awful thing because you now hear two things separately right now. How awful it is for you to hear the orchestra and the singer not even on the same line. That kind of irrationality killed me. I am not too sure if it is Yannick's surgeon was changing the tempo weirdly, Sarah wasn't able to follow the conductor, or the orchestra failed to persuade the notes, but as an audience, I do want to say I don't care, because every single of those three aspects contribute to the great falling aria that we are having. And apparently, I shouldn't blame on any particular of them. All I can say is, even though you mess up the premiere day, life still goes on. It is just one performance of a season. No much manner of that will destroy your life. But however, good luck on the rest of the performances, and stop saying bravo or bravo for a performance that have a quality like this. Another thing that tortured me is that everyone knows Yannick loved to fill the music with string. In order to prevent that, I just like to sit somewhere at the last few rows in the orchestra rear area so that the sound would spread a little bit and not bouncing too hard when I heard it. And there's the mistake I made. Because now the sound spread, I am able to hear the orchestra more clearly and more detailedly. The fact that the orchestra wasn't that together is ridiculous. While every single other human are like bravo, 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 and the dude sitting behind me was beatboxing, not too sure where he came from, but he was like, dum, dum, da, da, dum, dum, da, da. Why are you paying? Like, why are you paying to do beatboxing here? And the left arm of my chair was actually about to fall off. I was laughing. Having those things together is hilarious. Now we need a psychologist to explain why am I laughing. I'm not standing against Wagner, who believes in Gesamtkunstwerk, the total art, but the relatively most important part of opera, singing. As I said before, Nadine Sarah is one of the most famous soprano these days. I mean, she got a Wikipedia page with 27 languages. What is more impressive than that? I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve her reputation, even though I think the 2022 production of La Traviata is like a rough and slipshod work of a Disney musical, but I still consider her Violetta Valerie one of the remarkable ones. But overall, here in Romeo and Juliet, the The situation kind of changed a little bit. First of all, I'm not French. Second of all, I don't know any French person. Third of all, of what I'm saying is based on recordings I've heard in the past. The conclusion is, I just don't think the dialect director at the Met is on their fully working mode. There's some articulation of the words and the pronunciation that I found a little bit off. And also her singing. Besides that random dragging aria that we all don't want to talk about, the technical aspect of her singing is fine and great to me. A problem that exists in most of the singers nowadays appeared on her. It is you as an opera singer, acting is something that's pretty important because we're all humans and humans have mood. And acting is one of the most essential thing or something we called a performance. Nidian Sierra is a great singer, but her singing is not as good as in which I can totally ignore the acting aspect of an opera. The lack of emotions while singing present, especially in the fourth act, in the aria, translated into English is like the crew of God is like kind of thrilling for me. When Julia decides to drink the potion and questioning herself with all sorts of this and that, it should be a sorrow aria that's able to get the audience involved in the spirit. However, I don't see any changes in Sarah's singing. Her voice is still straightforward as it is in the mess of aria in the first act, Je veux vivre. A singer that managed to stand out in the opera is Frédéric Valentin. By the way, I love his personal website. The design is refreshing. He's exactly on point and his voice is steady. I can see the bright future that's coming on him. And the other singers? I don't think it is a good thing to not have your name here. And I have totally no comment on you, whether positive or negative. Because that really means I just don't remember you. I don't remember anything out of you. I don't even remember your mistakes. How can I even know you next time seeing you somewhere on the stage? I cannot forget that I have to talk something about the staging. The only thing I can say is that it is relatively boring and repetitive. We have some castle/houses as the background for the full 5 acts with a large and wide cloth for the second half. What can be a better word to describe a large white cloth? I don't know. The only thing I know is that the Met must save some money from bringing a production like this. Okay, in conclusion, my most essential point for Thursday's premiere is you guys have to practice and rehearsal. As an audience, I don't have any other complaints to say. I wouldn't encourage people to go see Romeo and Juliet, but if you want to, it's your freedom to do so. And as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I am still not too sure what the next episode will be, but I'll definitely upload something for sure. As always, if you have any questions, comments, opinions on what I said, or you just want to talk to me, please email olinatown@gmail.com. It is aulindatang@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. See you in my next episode. Yay! I don't want to get on the line for Carnegie for 6 hours anymore. It's torturing. It's like you stand there, it's 6 a.m. and you have the New York's cold wind and of the subway air because like Carnegie is next to the subway station. So the subway air just like went on your face. But like, and VPO's performances was like, can't say more about it. Since I'm not a classical music commenter or something, I'm focusing on opera for most of my time. But like, oh, I don't understand it. I'll never do that again. Bye! Thank you for listening to here.